listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Marriage is an incredibly confusing relationship for all of us because, you know, it's the first time where you have this relationship where you're supposed to be thinking about the us, the we, and nobody tells us about that. And I think that there is a lot of confusion based on our society and based on where marriage has been and where it's come from. You know, so sometimes people ask me about old models. You know, sometimes people say, well, what do you think about the biblical model for marriage? And here's the problem. Historically speaking, if you go that far back, marriage was a contract about property. And so when we think about that, we know that that is an outdated model where the man actually owned the woman. And by the way, we were always talking about that a heterosexual connection at that point where the man had the property of both the woman and the children. And so there was a contract between families. And we still have some remnants of that that hang around. But for the most part, we've kind of left that behind, right? We've left that behind in a wedding. We still see the remnants of that when the father gives the bride away. Long ago, that would have included a payment, a dowry. And so we've moved away from that model. And we moved into some other models. And one of those other models that we kind of moved away into was kind of the idea of the institutional marriage. The institutional marriage was where two people came together. And they came together because maybe they had some connections, either a family connection or a passion connection, but they were trying to build their life together. And that was where a family was created, where kids came in. It was also where the family property, the farm, was taken care of. And because of that, a marriage was a place of joining together in ways that were very difficult to pull apart. And so that institutional marriage didn't have to be based on what we now use as our litmus test. Do I still feel passion? Do I still feel this intensity for this other person? And that's where we get into trouble. Now, after the institutional marriage kind of changed, around the 1850s, in came what's been called the companionate marriage, the companion marriage, where this person was not just there for joint survival, not just there out of necessity of getting through life and creating a family, but there because of enjoying company. And so in that point, the satisfaction of the marriage was not just about we've survived, we've got each other's back, we're moving forward in this, but it was also about having joined together in a kind of a companion. Even then, though, the companion thing didn't mean best friend, most passionate love. That has come on later. And so what has happened somewhere around the 1960s was what some relationship psychologists have called the self-expressive marriage. Now, the self-expressive marriage is the idea that marriage gives us a place to express ourselves, our individuality, and where we bring ourselves into that, which is all great and good. Except for I think we begin to lose sight of the fact that the focus of a marriage is joining together as a unit. Self-expressive marriage does bring in the element of two individuals that may have been lost before that, but two strong individuals pulling themselves into this process where they join together and most express themselves in their marriage. At that point, we see where people were assuming that the passion should always be there. We should always feel this place where we are getting something out of the relationship. And here is where we begin to see the edges begin to crack under the pressure of society. Because the question before was, what do I need to do to make sure we move forward together? In the early marriage, it was, how do we survive together, right? And then in an institutional marriage, it was, what do I need to put into this so that we survive? And it really was about survival. It really was about facing the odds of culture and of being a family and all of the other rigors and get through it. Now, the companionate marriage was a little bit different because you were still asking, what do I put into this? But also there was more of a, what am I getting out of this? And so the satisfaction was about, how is the companionship going? That completely flipped upside down, though. When we went to the self-expressive marriage, we began to ask the question, what am I getting out of this? Not what am I putting into this, but what am I getting out of this? And so what you notice is a higher expectation of what comes out of it and less of an investment in what you put into it. Isn't that what we all want? I mean, not just in marriage, but everywhere where we just put in a little bit of a few dollars and big dollars come back. Isn't that the promise that we hear all the time in our culture now? You know, low investment and high yield. That was what has gotten lots of things in trouble before. The other night I was watching the movie The Big Short. And isn't that what happened in the whole housing market where people were not trying to put anything in, but trying to get a lot out, where people were not even having much of a down payment, but they were expecting this huge property and to be able to pay for it with pennies on the dollar. You know, I remember when we were going through that cycle and what people were getting as mortgages were the interest rates that would balloon, right? Balloon payments were the big thing, and the adjustable mortgage rates were the big thing, because you could get into a huge house for very little money down and very little money per month. And so people really thought that they were getting this great deal. So they could get into this huge mansion and just pay just very little because they were only paying interest. So what happened in that model? Well, because they weren't really invested, when it changed, when the balloon came due or when the mortgage rate went up, they suddenly were upside down. They suddenly owed much more on the property than they could ever sell it for. And that's when the whole housing market bubble popped. The same thing has happened in bubble after bubble after bubble. Do you remember the internet bubble where people were building little businesses that really were just websites and they were turning them around and selling them for hundreds of millions of dollars until people realized there was nothing there? And we even watch it today as some new social media comes along and people are trying to figure out what it means. And that company is trying to figure out how to make money, because what they really only created was a conduit of conversation. Nothing of real value other than that conduit of conversation. So how could they make money on it? If you'll notice, this is a mindset that gets us in trouble over and over. It got us in trouble with mortgages because people were paying pennies on a property that they should have been paying many dollars on. And so they were walking into properties with almost no down payment, having lied or even not told about how much they were really making because nobody really cared, and they were only paying the interest. They were doing nothing to truly invest in that property, which is part of the reason that they walked away so easily. The same with every business bust that's come along, the same thing. People were looking for an easy way to make money. And that's the same parallel that we find in marriages now, where people aren't investing as fully as they should. And then they're surprised when there's nothing there because they were expecting somebody else was doing that. It's almost as if we kind of feel like we're owed that big house or owed that big company that's making all kinds of money or owed this big investment that's paying us multiple percentages or owed a great relationship that's giving us everything, even though we're not putting in. Notice how the pattern it just fits over and over, because it's human nature. We want the easy way. We want the easy, give me what I want without me trying to figure out how to put it in. And that's where the self-expressive marriage, as it's been called, gets us into trouble, because more and more we put less and less time and energy into a marriage. I remember years ago, probably 20 years ago, I was reading a study about couples. And it determined that couples, on average, talk to each other about things that are not about the kids and are not about the job and not about their house for 3.5 minutes per day. 3.5 minutes of conversation of substance about themselves, not about the stuff of the family, but about themselves, of really sharing. Now, one of the things I've pointed out a lot of times in conferences is if you go on a date night, let's say you take your spouse out and you go on date night on a Saturday night and you spend, you know, an hour and you're talking about something that's very important to you for that hour. Well, you've just blown 20 days of that average, right? And so you could go 20 days without talking and still be within the national average of not talking much about the relationship. Relationships don't self-run And relationships don't self-nurture, and relationships don't automatically cash out without an investment in. And that's where we see marriage crises happen over and over. Often they're a wake-up call to this fact. Many times I hear from people who say, I had no idea that things were where they were until my spouse said, hey, I'm not happy. I'm not getting what I want, and I'm not willing to continue that way. What they're really saying is, my investment hasn't paid off the way I expected it to. I'm ready to cash out and move forward. You might feel the same way and be going, I'm not getting what I want either. The point is that until we switch that model, whether we do it culturally, which would be really great, or we do it in each individual marriage, that's where we have to make the switch. At some point, I'm sure it's going to swing the other way, and some generation is going to go, hey, you know what? This is all about putting in. But not right now. Right now, we're all about getting out. It's an interesting thing for me to watch that a lot of times the switch happens very early in a marriage. That when you marry someone, generally you marry them because you want to show them how much you love them. And almost immediately you're asking the question, how much do you love me? Am I getting what I expect out of it? And that's when the crisis begins. What happens when two people have made that switch where both people are saying, what have you done for me today? What have you done for me lately? What am I getting out of this? What am I lacking in this? Because at that point, you're no longer asking a question, what can I put in? But what can I get out? As we're trying to get out of a relationship, we tend to become demanding. We tend to become controlling. We tend to become a bit angry and a bit self-centered. And that's the nature of a recipe for disaster. That's the nature of a marriage in crisis. When I watch two people who are both scrambling for control, pointing the finger at each other, going, you keep trying to control this. And two people saying, you're not giving me what I need. And two people saying, why don't you act the way I want you to? Then we are in trouble because the disconnection begins to grow. Marriage is nurtured by connection. So as I talk about the pattern out of a marriage crisis, it's changing the model. It's not going back to an institutional marriage, and it's not going back to a property marriage, but it's changing the model of what self-expressive marriage is. A self-expressive marriage may be, how do I take this and grow into something greater? How do I look at where I am and say, you know what? My self-expression right now is to figure out how to be the best person I can be, not how I can get out of this and express myself, but how can I grow into somebody bigger and better? How can I be the best person in life and in a relationship? And you see, when you switch the model, that's what happens. Because when I watch couples who are doing well as a unit, they're also generally doing well in their lives because they're bringing their best self, not just into the relationship, but into lives. There's no better place to learn about yourself and to learn about relationships than in the trenches of a marriage. In the midst of building that we, you learn about yourself. There's nowhere else, no other relationship that I've been more challenged, more learning about who I truly am and how I truly respond than in a marriage, because I have somebody who's willing to hold a mirror up and also listen to the mirror back. So what do you do with all that? Well, you begin to wonder, have I lived the other model? Have I been looking for what do I get out of this? And can you switch it to say, how can I grow into this? Not what do I always put into this. Sometimes people make the switch the wrong way and they say, okay, I've been trying to get out and I've been trying to get out. And now I'm just going to cram everything in. I'm just going to go give everything to my spouse. Now, for a bit, you may need to really do some reversal and be working to make sure you're meeting the needs of your spouse and meeting the love language of your spouse and finding ways of moving toward your spouse. But there's also a place to say, how do I grow into this? How do I become the best person I can be? I've talked about this before, but let me repeat that my three pillars for saving a marriage are connecting with your spouse, changing yourself, and creating a new path. Those are the three C's of the pillars. The three C's, connect with your spouse. Now think about that. If you've been waiting for your spouse to connect with you, then we're reversing that. We're saying, okay, how can I best connect with my spouse? But then change yourself. This is not a how do I get everything I want in my life, but how do I grow into the best person I can be? Changing yourself is a central part of a marriage, and the problem is that we get stagnant. Sometimes I've had people, as I've been working with them as a coach, they'll say to me, "What do you mean I need to change myself? Are you saying there's something wrong with me, that I'm broken?" Not at all. I don't think that you're broken as much as we all grow stagnant. When we grow stagnant, we stop growing at all. We're just stagnant and kind of moving through life. We're not really challenging ourselves. We're not really showing up to life in any grand way. And when that happens, we first begin to lose our footing on what's important in life. And second, we even are a little less attractive to life and attractive to other people. And so when we change ourselves, we're saying, how can I grow into my better place? How can I find that place I need to grow into? And we all have a place that we can grow into. You know, sometimes people use that broken model where they go, okay, where am I broken? How can I get fixed? Fixed is basically kind of getting to zero. Growth is a lifetime prospect where you can constantly say, where can I grow next? How can I grow into the better person I can be? How can I show up more to life? How can I be more loving, attentive? How can I be my best self? Those are all great questions to move you towards a growth life. So we connect with our spouse in ways that maybe we haven't before by putting in. You remember, investment is putting in. So if you think about this in that investment model, the connection is adding an investment. It's continuing to put it in to the account. As the account grows, the marriage grows. It's an investment that grows and gives back. Same with changing yourself. You're investing in yourself to grow and be on a path of being a better and better person. Creating a new path is basically because the way it's been going got you to where you are. The new path, it's becoming a we, as a team, as a unit. It's about finding that place where you function together and move in different ways. So usually creating a new path is discovering something you didn't even know. So many times I've said, hey, you know what? Marriage is about becoming a we, and the people look at me like they've never heard that before. And sometimes we've just missed it, that's the whole goal. It's about bringing two best me's and creating a we. That's the new path. So part of what you're trying to do is create a new understanding of where your relationship needs to go. Where it was going before, the road it was on wasn't getting you there. Now we find a new road. When we do that, we begin to see that the self-expressive way of marriage is fine as long as we've got it flipped in the right way to bring our best selves. Not what am I getting out of this, but what am I putting into this? What am I getting out of this? And how am I growing into this? And how am I becoming the best person I can be so that we become the best we can be and follow that new path? If this makes sense to you, if you're going, wow, I need help with that, I would invite you to grab the Save the Marriage system. This is where we talk about that, how we get that going. And if you already have the Save the Marriage system and you're going, you know what, I want to speed up this process, I want to get there the best way we can, join me in the Save the Marriage VIP program, the virtual intensive program. This is where we do virtual coaching and we get you moving. You get resources and training and coaching in a process that helps you move as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeps you on track. If that makes sense to you, the links are below this, and you'll also find links to related podcasts about showing up and how this is about being a we. But whatever you do, decide to show up. Decide to put the investment in. Decide to grow this into the best it can be. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.